tree just to watch all the people below. Welcome to episode 62 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. We also have Jeff with us tonight. And we're going to taste a variety of beers. I think we're going to start out with at least a few Vermont IPAs.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts IPAs?
Yes.
Northeastern IPAs. And
New England.
Let's just get right into it. Number 10 right now on the Beer Advocate top 250 beers rated as rated by their users is...
Julius from Treehouse in Springfield, Massachusetts, or outside Springfield, Massachusetts.
All right. Why don't you crack that open for the microphone for all the people to hear?
Ready?
Ooh. Whoa. So excited.
Shall we? I guess I need to give you a little head, right? But not too much.
Okay. All right. That's good.
A little more beer, right?
It's getting there.
All right.
So this is in a can, a 16-ounce can. It is a very hazy straw color. I got a big, fluffy, little bit tannish
Whoa,
head.
Look at that say. Head.
Kind of tan-colored head.
Oh, that's like mango.
Is Julius, is that kind of like Orange Julius? Is that where that
I don't know. I was making from? That joke, but unfortunately I did not bring my reading glasses, so I'm not going to be able to read the marketing material, as I am completely blind now, as I'm in my post-40s.
Well, it definitely has the
the citrus, sweet citrus
smell.
But
tropical.
Tropical, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Kind of passion fruit, mango even.
Or passion fruit, I would say. Mango. I don't know what passion fruit smells like, so I'm going to go with mango.
I only know passion fruit from candies that are passion fruit flavored.
Nice.
Not maybe actual passion fruit.
That's a lot of staying power to the head there, too.
Oh, right?
Which is dissipating a little bit.
Yeah, but I didn't give myself the extra pour. Oh, wow.
That's easy drinking.
That is... So there's no bitterness at all.
No.
Right? It's all that fruity bouquet that you get in an IPA, and then you taste it and you get that bitter bump. This is like those grapefruity type things without the bitter. So
I get a little bit of that where it kind of dries out your tongue, like the
astringency.
Yeah. Or the, you know, like rind, orange rind or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But it's not like a... bitter. It's
I'm gonna pour a little more.
It's just a nice little finish.
That is,
since we're recording from my house, I can vibe.
We had. Does this have a widget? I'm getting a little. Or chunks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just has a widget in there.
Mm-hmm. That is really good.
This is a very unique flavor profile. This is.
Almost like an orange shandy.
Yeah, even, you know, there's other IPAs that you have that have the tropical fruit on
yeah,
the nose.
Right, the smell.
But you still get grass, you know, you get, you know, something at pine, and a blend.
Some earthiness.
Right, yeah, no, this is straight up tropical. There's still good bittering on the back of the throat. You give this to a beer rookie, they're not going to
yeah.
enjoy the.
They're going to say it's bitter.
My wife will complain. Yeah, she doesn't like IPAs. Wow, that is really good.
I've never had an IPA or a pale ale of any sort that had that.
No. Like the closest thing that I've had is with the Raging Bitch from Flying Dog, but that still comes with that heavy bitter at the end. But it has those. Front citrus, and because it's a Belgian, it has a little bit more of this sweet. This has a sweet finish. Like, you'd think there was some... This might even be, like, a Belgian IPA, right?
Like
with some of those candies, maybe?
I can't keep it in my glass. It's
it keeps getting drunk.
My glass might have a hole in it.
You could have told me that this was a shandy, though.
Yeah.
And I would be like, whoa. I mean, it's serious. It's pretty bold. For the level of tropical fruit that kind of sticks through full from the front to the back.
So here's what they say on the can. You are fortunate to be holding Treehouse Brewing Company's flagship American IPA, Julius. Julius is a bright tropical beer filled with flavors and aroma of peach, mango, passion fruit, and a melange of citrus. It is gentle on the palate, which I definitely agree with, while still incredibly hop saturated. Yeah. I think that's the mix there, that gentle on the palate. Like this hoppy of a beer being gentle on the palate. It is the result of our uncompromising dedication to fresh, progressive, delightful beer. We hope you enjoy it with laughter, good cheer, and in the company of those you love. Oh, I love you guys.
I do. I love you guys. On their website, they go on to say, it is refreshing and freakishly drinkable. What did you say?
Drinkable? No, that wasn't the language they had.
Freakishly
there.
Drinkable. I can't think of anything better description than that. So, wow.
I just noticed the 6.8 ABV, and it's definitely, you don't feel any of that. Mm-hmm. Or I don't.
No, I'm sure after a few of these.
Well, yeah, it would come out later. It's very smooth.
So, Massachusetts, is it?
Who said Springfield? Outside of Springfield.
I said outside Monson, Springfield. Mass. Yeah, well, I know.
Is that Western Mass? Or?
It's coming down 91. Like, Springfield's right in the middle, and that's where you have to exit to get to.
Well, it's about probably as far west is anyone from the Boston side of town.
We'll go. Yeah.
Anything further west of Springfield, it's like East New York or East Upstate New York, but there's lots of going on out there. That's the Massachusetts no one talks about. That's no one's actually from there.
Sherry was mentioning when she was living there, she was like going out to Worcester for something, which is what, like an hour outside of Boston? And people are like, why are you going there? You've never been there. Why are you going there?
Well, so Worcester's turning into a place to be now, right?
Is it?
Isn't that where they have the Abbey and they're actually
brewing? Oh, is that? I think it's near there. It might be, yeah.
Is that Jack's Abbey there too? Or I think so. Yeah. Worcester. Yeah, that's the one.
Worcester.
That's the fun one to show people how it's actually spelled.
Oh, right. Oh, that's like all those towns that are all like Welsh, 400 letters, and you're like, it's Bob. No.
Well, so this is really good, really smooth. I mean, unique and pretty well executed. But as a fan of an American pale ale, American style IPA, any of that non-British pale ale, is this on a top 10 list for you?
You know, the top X list
of is very IPs difficult or beers
with.
Well, knowing that, I tend to lean toward an IPA as a favorite beer style. It's definitely one of the most popular beer styles in this country right now.
Yeah,
and has been for a handful of years now. But my favorites are West Coast IPAs that are grapefruity, citrus, pine, and, not too heavy on the earthiness, which you get from more British pale ales. Would you be picking this one out? If this one didn't come in a Julius can and you didn't know it was so highly rated, I'd be drinking this going, this is very unique. I haven't had a beer like this.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with this. Wow, it's super tasty.
I like it.
Do you put
it
on your IPA list?
I like the...
that's a good question.
I like the ease. Freakishly drinkability-ness to it.
But if that's we... Yeah, like. So I hear...
But it still has the aromas,
If they threw this out on a taster tray... And you're just going through your six, and then you taste this one, and the versus like a truly hoppy IPA. You'd be like, yeah, that was kind of a nice ale. Yeah.
Well, I think we'll probably find out. We'll probably find out throughout the evening.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. Top 10. But now beers, though, like Beer Advocates is a top 10, which is flavor doesn't care. It's like I'm about interesting beers.
Yeah.
And that, this is an interesting beer.
I just remember
because it has layers.
I remember last time that we had some of this treehouse. There was one particular one. We'll have to go back and see what it was. Where I was just knocked off by it, and it was so unique, but so good. It was wow, and I would definitely drink this one again. And I'm going to be a big jerk if I say, well, I'm going to turn this down, and I wouldn't.
No way.
But an interesting one to kind of put on your IPA list, I think.
All right, should we grab the next one? And you want to talk about some beer experiences while we grab the next one?
I'll grab the next one. Oh, did we finish this one?
No.
I think we... No, we're not going to finish
this
one.
Oh, I'll finish it.
I'm going to have a little bit more. Jeff, you want to just finish this one?
No, we can do some final words on it.
We didn't talk about the color at all, did we? We did talk about it being cloudy.
Being cloudy and hazy.
All right, I missed all that because I was so much enjoying myself.
So while Mike's getting the next beer, I'll talk about my Thanksgiving beer experiences. Traveled up to the Boston area again to visit my family and went to Cape Ann Brewing Company Brew Pub, where we stop by a lot. My family's in Marblehead and Swampscott, which is right north of North Shore of Boston. And so we tend to do outdoors things along the coast there, drive up the coast. And Cape Ann Brewing is just north of that area, just north of Salem area. And it's a great place to go with family, with kids, with whatever. They have these long benches. They have food. You can go in there, just drink beers, get a bunch of games. They have, like, board games, checkers, and tic-tac-toe, and all sorts of games. So you grab a bunch of games, go in there with the kids, set them on one side of the table. You go to the other side, get your sampler going.
You guys stay busy with these games while we drink a lot.
So a very cool place to go. The other place I went was a cidery in Salem. Had a number of different... they have a cider sampler. You get like five different ciders set in front of you for $10. Good sized samplers. That place was delicious. And what's it called?
So were they all locally grown, like apples?
I don't know. I didn't
know. Or were they, you know, factory apples?
I don't know. I didn't get too much into it, but I was just drinking apples, them.
Factory grown. What the hell am I talking about? You can't.
Are they locally sourced?
You know what I mean. Right? Like, are they factory farmed?
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of apples grown up in that area, so.
There's a thing about apples, though, right? That they're hand picked pretty much no matter what.
You have to.
Did you get to Salem Beer Works, or have you?
I've been there before. I didn't go this time, but yeah, I've been there a number of times. And then on the way back, we stopped in Hartford.
Delicious. Sorry.
And went to Steam City Beer, maybe?
In Hartford? Like
in Hartford, yeah, downtown Hartford. This beautiful old building. There's like seven floors. They have comedy club in the basement.
The tree. Yeah. If you were in Hartford.
Hartford, Connecticut.
Right. That's off of 91 as well, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
You just go up another 150 miles and you're there.
Sure.
The driving back was miserable because the traffic was horrible. Connecticut's the worst state.
It is, man. It's just shit. It's like factory shit and in between New York and New England shit.
It was actually like once we got past Connecticut and into New York, it was like smooth driving all the way home. We just did a straight shot from Boston.
City? Like down 95?
Yeah.
Well, you were in Hartford, so you scored some smack or something.
It was nice downtown Hartford. I don't know. There was a UConn game, I guess. Is that where UConn is? I don't know. There was some university game going on. That
some sporting event.
There's University of Hartford.
Isn't that a pain point with you?
I almost went there.
Right. You talk like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, so that's my beer experience for the holidays.
It's fantastic. Are we going to do, like, several episodes? We each share individual beer experience per episode?
Well, we'll save Jeff's for the...
Oh, right.
The specific beer episode.
Well, I'll just say, in general, I've had several beer experiences recently. Like, since the beginning of October, I've traveled, I think, to 16 different states.
Wow.
Mostly for fun. So that was good, but when I was saying that Hartford's pretty close to Springfield, it was on our way to northeastern Vermont.
Well, we talked about that one.
Yeah. So the difference between Hartford and Springfield was just like, yeah, that's like a couple of podcasts or something. It's not that far. but I'm sure if you're actually trying to do it did that Vermont trip, did... Prior to that, the Midwest trip to Ohio, and then for Thanksgiving, went to the beer mecca known as Alabama, which is highly regarded for its craft beer movement of just passing the law that they can homebrew. So there wasn't a lot of stuff there, but there was some highly regarded brew pubs in Tennessee that were on the route. I tried to stop at one on the way down and one on the way back up, but on the one on the way down... We couldn't get in. It was very popular and couldn't get into it. So we didn't have enough time and we had to get back on the road. But on the way up, I stopped at Terminal, which my wife put the post on our site. I don't know if you saw it on the Facebook site.
Yeah, I like the joke there.
With the joke on the Walking Dead, it's like, yeah, at least it wasn't people. Or I don't even remember what the joke was, but it was funny. And my wife made that joke.
It was much better than Terminus.
Yes.
Getting all thirsty here.
Oh, okay. Right, let's open this up. So, a relic from that last beer experience in Vermont that was referenced. I tried to drink all the IPAs fresh. This one was in the can. I hope it hasn't mellowed too much, but probably has, because this was canned in early October. But we had already blasted our palate, and we didn't have our good friend Jeff for the ride. So this is called Tribute by 14th Star Brewing Company. It was recommended by the, what do you call it, beer sommelier?
Sommelier.
Yeah, no,
they have a license for it now. They call it something. But anyway, the beer guy at that great place in Montpelier, which I am, the name now is escaping me, but it's the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? The Green Mountain Co-op or the Hungry Mountain Co-op? Or
I don't know.
Whatever it is, that joint, that guy said this is a great IPA. It's up and coming and highly recommended it.
And I think you gave a few of these to me last time we recorded, and I brought them home, and they were good. As
I have not tried them yet.
Oh, really?
But I saved this one. I've saved my trying of it for the podcast. But the guy who got us the Treehouse highly regarded this beer. So it was really, really good.
So this is another yellow one. It's
very well
very
filtered.
Clear, very clear. Very clear. Now, this is a double IPA.
Double IPA.
Pretty thin head on this.
I don't know.
Pure white head.
Mine's looking pretty tight bubbled. Okay. I might not have poured yours very well.
On the nose, there is not a lot going on there.
See, this could have mellowed, though, in the can. But yeah, I'm not getting
too much either.
Nothing.
Let me go into this glass.
Oh, by the way, the cider place in Salem that I went to is called Far From the Tree Craft Hard Cider. Stop by. I highly recommend it.
There's slight... Okay, so I just toss it from one glass to another, and I'm getting slight floral. A little bit of fruity, but I don't know. Did it mellow out, guys?
I think it mellowed. I remember it being much hoppier aroma, and I mean, there you really want to drink IPAs quickly. Some double IPAs and Imperial IPAs can last longer, and the hops will just mellow a little bit, and it won't be as harsh. Particularly like barley wines and that kind of caliber of drink, but
so this has a similar. Am I missing it, or is this pretty fruity as well?
I'm getting floral, and I'm getting such a resin type of
Is it so it's oily to you?
Heaviness, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a. Maybe masking.
Well, I'm definitely. There's more pine notes to this, to your Northwestern than the other one. But it has a. It's if I hadn't just had the Julius, I'd say this is the fruitiest IPA I've had.
14th Star Brewing Company. Did you say that?
Mm-hmm. So this is their Tribute Double IPA. It's a celebration of hops, pure and simple. Simple and smooth malt base serves as a stage for the hops to perform tribute. Tribute has a beautiful golden color, an aroma brimming with citrusy hops. We didn't get all of that. A deliciously smooth hop flavor and dry finish. It does have a dry finish.
Yeah, I think it's faded a little bit, that hoppiness. Yeah, so I really don't smell much at all.
But this is a fairly light beer, right? Light color, right? Light straw color.
Yeah, it's very straw.
So that's light. I mean, this is purest IPA, purest double IPA. We try to keep the caramel malts and, you know, any type of color out of it, and should finish dry, and this definitely does. But what I'm getting really forward palate is that I got floral, very light, and then that resiny and the heavy, and that might be higher alcohol. I didn't notice what the...
It is. It's like 8% plus. So that's what you think your resiny is? So, interesting story here. 14th Star Brewing started as a daydream in the mountains of eastern Afghanistan. Seriously.
Wow.
We couldn't make that up. While deployed overseas, soldiers have plenty of time to contemplate two things, beer and getting out of the army. Steve and his buddies were doing just that in 2010 when the idea came to the longtime home brewers, why not open a brewery, preparing for the day we can retire from the army. They started the journey from a handwritten business plan in the back of a notebook to fully licensed craft brewery. While new to the brewery industry, 14 Star understands that it is a small part of a proud craft brewing community in Vermont and of the Vermont artisan community as a whole. We strive to uphold the craftsmanship, attention to detail, balanced flavor, and hometown responsibility that are the hallmarks of Vermont craft scene. Currently located in the Lower Newton Street in St. Albans with a capacity of 850 barrels, 14 Star is undergoing some pretty massive expansion. Do you know who they have to get a permit from to do this expansion?
You.
My government organization, and we provide the worst software to do that.
Oops.
Can you edit that out so I don't get fired?
Jesus.
But we're working on fixing it, everybody. So this is all about their expansion. But I will tell you that I had some fresh 14 Star, a couple of different offerings from them while I was in Vermont, and it was really nice stuff. They do good work.
So as this warms up, and I swirled around and cut down some of the carbonation.
Yeah.
Lot sweeter. Yeah, and getting more citrus off of it. And I just had to look up to remind myself of the name. This was reminding me of another beer, and I don't know if you've had it this year's edition. Sierra Nevada's Hoptimum.
No.
Which is like, it's their fresh hop, wet hop, double IPA. Used to only be able to get it in their bombers, and now I think you can get it in six packs. But this reminds me of that beer.
And what's it called again?
Hoptimum.
Hoptimum.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what do you remember about this beer? I had it when it was fresher.
Yeah, I don't know. I drink so many different beers.
I'm constantly drunk.
You sent me home with a number of beers. One of them was Heady Topper.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple others, and I remember them all being very good, you know, like Heady Topper, obviously. But the others, I remember it being kind of, you know, of that caliber.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think the Heady Topper we had might have been going through something like this. Like, it's not fresh. Because, man,
I thought we had the date on it, and it wasn't a...
I don't know, but Heady Topper is a freaking amazingly good beer, and you were so underwhelmed by it.
No, I
not calling you out, sorry.
I think the reaction there was similar to Pliny the Elder, right? Was that hype. Super well executed,
right?
Well balanced, perfectly balanced, not over the top,
right?
Not like, whoa, what did I just have? You have to like take it and really appreciate it and go, wow, this is really good,
yeah.
Didn't attack me or anything. Or, you know, where I said, like, you know, I really like the Lagunitas Sucks, for example. And that one is always one. Like a pow,
yeah.
And really good every time.
And you can get that in 40s now.
You can. In the past year, I think that was the only way they distributed. This is also, so, but back to the spirit. This is palate wrecker. As well,
you think
completely unlike the Julius there, yeah. This is if we can just have a couple steaks or something, or you know, before we have our next beer to cleanse the palate.
You know, we do need to get ourselves some of that champagne sorbet in between servings, right?
Mm.
Any final thoughts on this one before we get to Listomania?
Not for me. Let's go to the article.
All right, well, the article or Listomania?
Yeah, the Listomania.
Article. Okay, great. So we just mentioned Lagunitas Sucks, and coming in at number 49 in our list of 100 craft beers you must try before you die is Lagunitas Brown Sugar. It is, legend has brown sugar was an accident, sort of a Frankenstein of a beer. Oh, shit. If I just knew how to use the internet.
So that is, the timing is right on this, as I mentioned, Sucks. This Sucks actually happened because of brown sugar.
Did it really?
Do you know that story?
Go ahead and tell the story.
Well, if you want to...
I'll read this and then you tell that.
The Sucks story is that brown sugar took such an effort for Lagunitas to create both time and investment, and they weren't large enough, had enough capacity to produce all the other beers that they wanted to produce, and it cost so much they were barely recouping expense on it. So the year that it came due for them to make Brown Sugar again, they didn't make it. It didn't work for them. They couldn't do it. So instead they made Lagunitas Sucks, which was this phenomenal IPA, and they called it Sucks. It was, hey, we suck. We couldn't make Brown Sugar. And I think it's a great beer.
I love Lagunitas Sucks. Yeah. All right. Well, great. Well, the legend on Brown Sugar, which apparently Sucks was an accident. Brown Sugar also was an accident. It's a Frankenstein of a beer that took on a life of its own. It's tough to pin down Brown Sugar style, so beer geeks tend to just label it as strong ale, which basically means it'll knock you on your ass. You should keep this in mind because even though it hits 10% ABV, this is ridiculously drinkable beer. Ridiculously, freakishly, I'm liking these descriptors. Thanks to the Brown Sugar balanced by a moderate hop profile, mark your calendars and start looking for this one in October. Number 48, Avery Rumpkin from Boulder, Colorado. Aged in bourbon barrels was once considered cutting edge, but that was all 5-10 years ago. Look around barrel aging landscape today and you'll begin to see a lot of more variations. So why not an Imperial Pumpkin Ale in rum barrels? Why not make it 18%? ABV. What? Holy shit. That's not even a beer, man. Why not spice it with nutmeg, cinnamon, and ginger? That's Avery's Rumpkin.
Why not?
And it's determined to make you remember it as if you could forget. And some of our fancy tasting glasses come from Firestone Walker. This one's called a Velvet Merkin. I just want to get that for the name. From Paso Robles, California. There's such a thing as a session barrel-aged stout. The Velvet Merkin is it. Lower in alcohol than typical. It's more refined and subtle. They don't even realize that there's barely blah, 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 blah. Perhaps it's a 10-year Heaven Hill barrels they use, but it's a brew that proves the adage that sometimes less is more. Number 46, Boulevard Tank 7 Farmhouse Ale.
Ooh, Have we had that one? Yep, I think we had that one. On a size on show, maybe.
Yeah, yep, that sounds really familiar. Every beer style needs a great commercial example to eventually come along and push it in the limelight. For Saison Farmhouse Ale, that beer is Boulevard's Tank 7. It's predated by many wonderful examples of style, but when Tank 7 went in production, it exposed the rustic delights of Saison to a much bigger U.S. audience than ever before. Deceptively light for its 8.5 ABV is a great example of American Saison.
Just getting those words out.
Right.
Words.
Words, words, words. All right. Number 45, Founders Red Rye. It's Red Rye. That's what it is. It's Red Rye. That's number 45. 44, from our great state of St. Louis, and it's not a Budweiser. Schlafly. That's all over the joint in the Midwest.
Yeah, well, we can get that here.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I looked over the shoulder and I just cringed. I
You don't like Schlafly?
No,
you don't
I
like
do.
Schlafly Pumpkin Ale.
Schlafly Pumpkin Ale. Awful.
You don't really?
Yeah.
Don't hold back. Was it one of the pumpkin pie ones or
super pumpkin pie over the top. Just artificial pumpkin everything. Clove.
It says while others are over this one is good, while others are overflowing spices and cloyingly sweet, you say no. So 44 under protest.
I do like Schlafly. Great brewery. Good beer.
Yeah.
Pumpkin ale. Eh.
All right. And maybe it was just this year's version. Perennial Artisan Ales, Abraxas Imperial Stout. From St. Louis, Missouri, Perennial Artisan Ales. Never heard of it. Anybody here? Perennial Artisan Ales, Abraxas Imperial Stout?
I think I've heard of Perennial.
It's a hot Mexican hot chocolate stout. It's loony as it is distinctive. Doesn't even seem like it should work. A stout combining ancho chilies, cacao nibs, vanilla beans, and cinnamon sticks.
Nibs.
Oof. That could have been an undrinkable disaster, but it's not. It's a dessert beverage. All right. Well, that sounds interesting. You want something different. Number 42, Three Floyds Zombie Dust. I think I've had this.
That's one of those big deals.
Right.
Yeah.
That's on the... I was just scanning the top list, and it's on there.
Maybe that's why I think I had it, because I just read about it. I got to see... Well, this is a later story, but talk about it on tap, so I can always verify, as long as I don't lie. Okay, number 41, Wicked Weed Serenity. Funk. That's an apt word to describe Serenity, a Belgian farmhouse ale fermented with Brettanomyces for an unmistakable sour funk. By the way, you guys talk about IPAs being the most popular beer. And all them kids and hipsters, they like their sours and their sours. That's the shit that they're going down with right now. It's like, give me something sour. Otherwise, I don't want it. Everybody does IPA. I want a sour. Number 40, to wrap up the list of 10 tonight, is Stone. Enjoy by date. I thought that was a gimmick. At the nexus of brewing prowess and marketing geniuses, this double IPA from San Diego's most successful craft brewer. Several times a year, a limited batch of extremely fresh beer is distributed among four lucky states and one U.S. store. Oh, really? That's limited release? Maybe I should have bought this shit when it came around here. It has a shelf life of about 6 weeks with an expiration date factored right into the beer's name. This recipe can take advantage of its bright floral and citrus hop profiles like nothing else in a bottle. What happens when the Stone reaches enjoy by date? Nobody knows. It flies off the shelves weeks before its time is up.
Great beer.
It's already
great
gone.
Beer. Always good.
Well, next time I see it, I will get it because I ignored it the last time because I thought it was a gimmick. Shame on me.
Shame.
Mr. Stein, where be we at?
I think we're ready for the next beer, aren't we?
Are we ready for the next beer?
I am.
Mine's a thirsty.
So we're going back to the
back to Treehouse, right?
Back to Treehouse.
This is Haze.
Haze.
Number 58 on the Beer Advocate list right now.
Oh, wow. Look at you. So was Tribute even on the list?
No.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get that far.
Well, it's not, at least, it's not as high as it. So the interesting about Treehouse is they have generic cans that they slap on labels for their non like I know Julius is one of their
that sounds like that's
flagship
their leading
beers
beer, yeah.
So therefore it's all colored up in yellow. The rest of them are just plain old aluminum with slapped on labels. This is one of them. This is Haze, an excellent purple spiral on their cool Treehouse logo, which I believe last time I commented would be a wonderful tattoo if you were still into that kind of thing.
Drink fresh and live well. That's what it says at the top of the can.
All right. So the first surprise, it is not purple.
I'm looking for the last Treehouse we had.
But like the other Treehouse, you'd have to go to CNBC. What is our Podomatic site?
You can go to cnbcpodcast.podomatic.com.
cnbcpodcast.com.
Or you can just go to cnbcpodcast.com.
We've got another unfiltered.
It is cloudy as all get out.
Slightly orange. Slightly amber. Slightly orange.
This one's got some aroma on it. So is this one fresh too?
Ooh,
or is
yep.
this one that's been hanging around? Okay.
Oh, this is fresh.
That's another kind of sweet on the nose.
I would say.
You say an amber?
No. Orange.
Orange. It's like a cloudy orange.
Sunshine.
Citrusy, but not as many of the tropical fruits.
No, this is nowhere near as bocaceous as the other one.
But it's still.
Bocaceous a word?
Or maybe even some.
You ruined my first sip.
I'm sorry.
Maybe even some pie. Kind of.
There's
pie.
More dank in this one. Yeah. There's definitely some notes of like the trees.
Yeah. It's definitely not as much tropical aromas.
But wow. There is a nice undertone, man. It's almost like the outside of a pineapple. Because you get that piney thing, but then you get that sweet thing.
I didn't get tropical on the nose. I got more citrus in, but taste wise, more tropical.
Holy shit, that smells good. It's not strong. Woo! That's what I was smelling. Wow, dude, that's like...
That's...
Goddamn.
So good.
That's really good. But it's like... it's this is freakishly drinkable as well. Like, this is something I would expect from Kona, right? This immediately makes me think of an island beverage, but it's a beer.
Wow. Ma was another one of the Treehouse beers that we had.
Oh, God.
That was episode 56, by the way.
This is so good. I don't think this is too far off of the Julius. This is like a double Julius. And I mean, we got to read about it.
It's American double IPA. I believe the Julius is American IPA. Let me see if I can pull up the good old
There's not too much to say on the can because this is the slapped on sticker version, not the fully printed can.
Well, we got 8.2 ABV, American Double IPA. That's all we know. Wow, that is a stunning beer. That's it. I'm moving to Monson, Mass.
Right? If you give me a moment, I'll see if I can find... Let's see. Hayes, we constructed this beer around hops we currently have plenty of access to, allowing us to re-brew it on a relatively consistent basis. So I'm guessing they're pulling some of the same stuff.
Yeah.
We smell a ton of orange on the nose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With complementary notes of peach and passion fruit.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what I was thinking was pineapple. The flavor is similar with a blast of citrus fruit and orange quickly followed by spicy grapefruit and earthy dankness. Yeah, I get the earthy dankness. A lingering but pleasant hop oil finish awaits.
Yeah.
Didn't get that.
The hop oil finish?
This is not coming as oily as the Tribute.
All right, so, well, this is where the Tribute just wrecked your resin palate.
You know, right. Yeah.
It's much. It's not as freakishly drinkable as Julius, right? It definitely has more hop stuff laying on you, I feel.
Yeah, agreed. This one is more of that IPA and less of the fruity.
A little
shandy.
More bracing, I guess.
This beer is going to make me cry. It is so good.
Tears of joy.
Wow. Well, this is one of their rotational ones, so we're lucky to have it because they don't always have it.
Thank you, whoever brought this down.
His name?
Wow.
What was it, Robert Paulson? Was the guy from Fight Club?
Yeah.
His name was Robert Paulson. I won't give his name on the air, but I maybe will invite him to one of these. He's a really cool guy and very into beers.
Jeff.
It is Jeff. No critiques.
Wow. Just...
That's high praise.
That's a complete
everybody.
Beer. That is, it's.
You'd move it higher than 58, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where would this be on your top
well,
10 list?
So I mean, so this is the good commentary, I guess. Saying that, so, Julius, very good, interesting. It doesn't make it on the IPA list.
Right.
And we're reflecting back to Heady Topper, a complete beer, but very well balanced. Pliny the Elder, very well balanced. So you don't just pick them out as your wow punch you in the mouth beers, yeah. You know. But Hayes has got the wow right blast in the front part of your mouth, attacks the tongue, attacks the palate, and then finishes so smooth. Doesn't have that astringent dry out the mouth.
No,
like we're keeping this just right in the front of the, just full flavor, yeah. Full flavor. You know you. Wow.
I agree with the wow.
This is the, you know, just I haven't taken a sip, you know, in a minute, and I'm enjoying the
you're
flavor.
Still feeling
yeah,
it,
yeah.
And it's on the back of your tongue.
It's there. Mm.
I'm going to try that warming thing. I'm going to let this warm up here and have a little final note of it. So, Chris, anything else to add on Haze?
I think Jeff's kind of covered. It's delicious.
Do you feel like you're in a Jimi Hendrix museum or anything? You know, he's from Seattle. That's Pacific Northwest. Is this their tribute to that? Or are
purple
they just
haze?
Using what they have on hand?
The purple can?
Yeah.
A little purple haze, yeah, sure. Woodstock's up there, right? New York, New England.
It's not New England. Woodstock's over
upstate New York.
And the
that's New England.
The Catskills.
You don't put upstate New York in New England?
No, because this is like southern upstate New York.
Shut your whore mouth.
I was trying to explain to my kids how Connecticut was like a civil war between Giants fans and.
So is New York its own thing? It doesn't get like lumped into some.
No.
They're just their own thing.
Yeah,
it's like the mid-Atlantic states. You've got Maryland, Virginia.
I am just enjoying just soaking in the aroma. Like, just bury your nose in the glass.
But remember, we didn't get a lot of that in the beginning of this. Like, I guess
I'm swirling and warming. And
the aroma wasn't as forward as it was. Julius had the biggest bouquet of the three.
Julius was straight mango. And this is a little more complex.
Yes. This has how many episodes? Yeah. This has many more layers. Way more layers is what I was attempting to say.
So this is where, like, the top 10 beer, Julius, again, just to go back to that, and then this guy, whatever, Hayes in the 50s or whatever, is the... Julius is a more accessible beer. I mean, and that's it. You give Hayes to someone who doesn't want a super bitter, hop-forward, double IPA...
They're not going to
spit that out. Knuckleheads like us... This is a...
But even with that hop forward, it's not super bitter. It's not super...
It's super bitter. It's not really? what you're allowing. It's juicy. Yeah, but it's not what you want to align with an American bittering hop.
I mean, Hayes has a score of 99, and Julius has a score of 100, so they're...
We're splitting hairs.
I'm putting Hayes as like a double Julius. That's kind
of
what.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't have as much of the tropical aromas.
No,
as Julius did when we first poured that.
I mean, oh, just come on, smell that.
But it's also, you know,
yeah,
palate spoiling. So
that's something that I want to put in my car. There. Just hang it, smelling the empty hang can it from of Julius.
Hang it from your rearview mirror like you'd hang the tree.
I feel like...
Officer, no. It's just for the smell, I swear. No,
that's really, it's just for the hop smell. Come on, guys.
I feel like I'm having a similar reaction to that Ma from the last time. That it was like just wow. What are these guys doing? What's Treehouse doing?
Well, they're doing some good stuff.
Yeah.
Now they're definitely, you're saying they're getting national acclaim being up on the top.
Well, there was a story in the Post maybe this past week, something about, you know, how the people line up. And I had read that story a year ago or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, about a growler day or whatever.
Well, I wanted to go when I was doing my sojourn north, but we weren't passing by the brewery when it was open. So, any final thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm done.
Like, there can be no better beer. We're not having a second episode.
So, should we just sum it up? The beers from tonight were Treehouse Brewing's Julius. We then tried 14th Star Brewing Company's Tribute, double IPA. And then we finished off with Treehouse Brewing's Haze. Jeff, pick one of these to take home. Which lady is it going to be?
I'd be crazy Haze all day.
I thought you'd be doing that.
You know, well, before trying Haze, and for me loving West Coast IPA, you know, it's blasphemy, whatever. I'm the a-hole beer drinker. I'd be like, I might have taken the Tribute over the Julius.
Wow.
You know, just for the straight beer style. But Haze, wow, that is an amazing beer. That's great.
Mike, what about you?
I am torn between the two Treehouse selections, and I wish I had tried Tribute while fresh. I think from a uniqueness, though, I'm going to have to go with Julius. Julius is unlike anything I've ever tasted before. It had, like we said... You know, it has the structure of an IPA, but it has the flavor of what could be mistaken for a shandy. But it delivers on both so well, and it's doing it just through a hop combination to get that kind of flavor. I think that's pretty impressive. So I'm going to go with the Julius.
Yeah, these are all in 16-ounce cans. The Treehouse beers are both empty. The Tribute beer, there's still a little left in there. So I think that tells you a little something. I think... I would pick Julius, too. I'd spend the morning with it. You know, have a little bit in the morning. I'd have a little bit pre-lunch.
With some maybe Julius. A little bit
with lunch. And then in the afternoon as well, you know, so.
Freakishly drinkable.
All good. All good beers. All great beers.
I'm sensing, though, boys, that we need to do our little road trip someday. Maybe start go through Philadelphia, hit whatever Russian River we can find on tap, then head... north and go Treehouse way and then head up into Vermont.
We get so Well, this could be another episode discussion. The pizza boy outside of Harrisburg.
Okay.
Like 150 beers on tap. Started as pizza and just, oh, I'm going to brew a couple beers. And turned into the, I've got...
Harrisburg, these, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, not far from.
That's only an hour and a half away.
And then while we're there, Trogues isn't too far
away. Right, okay. That's, we can, that's a much more actually accomplishable task.
Technically, we can get Flying Dog
on the way out.
Frederick.
Yeah.
Pizza Boy for lunch and 150 beers.
All right.
And just round it out with Trogues.
Right. Do they have those self-driving cars yet?
and I got in-laws in Hagerstown, so right. It's just right down there. You know,
that's all downhill from Harrisburg. Yeah. We just put it in neutral. We don't have to drive.
Done.
Be like, three of us, we could totally steer.
Officer, the keys aren't even in.
I mean, come on, really. We're just using gravity. What do you want? So I take us out here?
Yeah, let's take us out.
So do I do the beer quote or then the closeout?
Closeout, then the beer quote.
As a closeout, then the beer quote. How many episodes have we done on this?
62.
Well, thanks for listening to CNBC episode 62. And you can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.podomatic.com.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cnbcpodcast. Every time we have a new episode, we tweet it out there. And you can follow us on, or like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cnbcpodcast. We post the episodes there as well. And sometimes pictures or other fun articles that we've read about beer.
And we got YouTube.
We also have a YouTube channel. We'll probably do a video episode tonight, I think.
We got plenty of selections to choose from.
YouTube.com/CNBC podcast. I think I have an episode in the can, too.
Oh, yeah.
With Jeff, maybe even. So next week, I think we're going to do some Omegang beers, and Jeff's going to tell us about his trip up to Omegang Brewery.
40th birthday. Our lager, which art in barrels, hallowed be thy drink. Thy will be drunk. I will be drunk at home. As it is in the pub. Give us this day our foamy head, and forgive us our spillages, as we forgive those who spill against us. And lead us not into incarceration, but deliver us from hangovers. For thine is the beer, the bitter, the lager, forever and ever, barman.
Blasphemy. Cheers.
Cheers.
Blasphemy my ass.
Drink craft beer.
Drink good beer. Fences shine through. So I reach out my arms and I hope that you sing to my tune. There's a concert tonight with lights burning bright.